The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our expert slot, and this week we are answering any questions you may have about managing the legalities of divorce. With us is Keith Walsh, family law and divorce solicitor, to answer all your questions. Keith, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
The question's already flooding in, so we'll go straight into them. If in a divorce there are no children, are all the assets split 50-50? My husband earns four times more than I do in salary.
Not necessarily 50-50. The fact your husband earns four times your salary would be a factor which would probably militate against that. The court has to, and again, when you're settling your case, you'd look at trying to get proper provision for both of you in the circumstances. So if there is one house and the house was sold and split 50-50, your husband would be in a far better position than you to rehouse themselves. So I think that would be a factor that could make the difference, and you definitely shouldn't agree to 50-50 until you've got legal advice and you know whether that's the right thing or not. But quite a lot of people come in the door to me and say, well, I just presumed it's 50-50. That's a mistake.
Now, this is probably one more for Stephanie Regan, who's just left, than for you. My brother is going through a bad divorce. We as a family are heartbroken. I am close with my sister-in-law. How should I handle this, as I love them both?
Well, I suppose from a legal point of view, you know, supporting both people going through the divorce, it's a very stressful time.
And you know, whose side are you on, that question?
It can. And again, the ideal, if you can achieve it, is to avoid taking sides and to try and have a good divorce where you don't, people don't line up against each other. But certainly, I think you have to be very careful as well as, what's your brother's view on it as well? Because he's obviously going through a very stressful time. So I think maybe have a chat with your brother first would be my advice. But again, it probably is more for Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. If a mortgage has finished, in other words, paid off, and the owners are now divorced, can it be sold? I mean, I'm not sure in what circumstances we're talking about.
I mean, obviously, any co-owners of a property can sell a house whenever they want to. And even if there was a mortgage, it could still be sold. Because
it may be something to do with the family home situation. It may be. I don't have any more detail than that on the question. Because if it is the family home and there are children living in it.
Exactly. So it's less likely to be sold if they're children under the age of 18 or if they're dependent. And it also depends how much equity is in it and whether people can rehouse themselves out of the equity in it. And so there's a load of factors. So it could be sold, but it doesn't mean it has to be sold. A court won't definitely sell a family home, and it's less likely to do so if the children are younger. But it depends also on a variety of factors.
If I'm separated and living out of the family home for 4 years, but not divorced, now no longer living in the family home, and I inherit €100,000 from a will, how much will I owe the ex-partner?
Well, inheritances are different to other marital property. First of all, they're not marital property because you get them not as a result of your marriage, but as a result of you being the child of your parents. So an inheritance can be taken into account, but it really depends in some circumstances how much the inheritance is relative to the rest of the assets. It also depends if you have a legal separation or a judicial separation in place. If you have a legal or judicial separation in place already, it's far less likely any inheritance or anything would be taken into account because you've kind of resolved your case to some degree. But if you don't have a legal separation in place, you could be in difficulty. But it depends.
I mean, that's a difficult one because if, for example, €100,000 comes to a child from a parent who despise the person that their offspring married.
Yeah.
They'd spin in their grave knowing that he got or she got some of the money.
Yeah, and the way a court might deal with it is they mightn't give the other spouse part of the inheritance, but they may do a little bit better on
the
share.
House or
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of swings and roundabouts to some degree.
I have an upcoming divorce. My mother is very elderly. How can I keep any inheritance out of my divorce if she should pass away during the divorce process?
Well, there's a very simple answer to that, which is do it as quickly as you possibly can.
Get divorced as quickly as
well,
you possibly can.
Absolutely.
Because once it's over, it's over. Although,
yeah.
That's not really the case in Ireland, is it?
You're right. There's a technical chance that you might get a second bite of the cherry, but the kind of policy in the courts has gone against that. So it's very, very difficult to come back. And it particularly, I think, for an inheritance, it would be difficult to revisit it. But it depends how much the inheritance is again.
Now, the revisiting of things which came up there, does it depend on hardship? I always say, like, if you blew all the money in the bookies, the courts won't have any sympathy for you if you come back looking for more. But what do they, what have they shown they have sympathy for?
Well, they have sympathy if there's, I mean, for example, if somebody became seriously unwell and it wasn't foreseeable at the time. You know, there was a line of cases post-Celtic Tiger where people had got huge settlements, particularly wives in big money divorces, and the money was invested unwisely or may have been thought wise at the time, but the money was lost and they came back looking for a top-up, if you like, or a revisit. So in those cases, you're unlikely to get it if it's as a result of your own misfortune, but it still is quite difficult to come back. So I think ill health would be a ground. Maybe significant lack of disclosure, or if the process leading to the divorce wasn't done properly by the person from whom you're trying to get the money back. That's a chance. But it's more and more difficult. I think the courts in 2025 are less likely to
entertain it. Is it about time that the government came up with an amendment to the divorce jurisdiction to say, look, we'd like it to be over when it's over?
I think people, and again, I think the courts are now striving for finality, and lawyers are and people want finality. But there are some exceptions to that, like if you're unwell or where there's a potential injustice. I think you should always be able to come back. But again, that you have to balance that with the finality. So I think if you asked most of my clients, I think they'd say when it's over, I want it to be absolutely over.
This one, does one spouse have the right to buy out the family home from the other spouse? Can a judge order a spouse to accept a buyout? And what would happen if the buyout was refused? Would the house have to be sold on the open market?
The general default is if people can't agree, a judge will sell it. They can't, in theory, they can compel you to accept a buyout, but I think judges would be uncomfortable.
So what, the judge will ring up Lisney's or Sherry Fitz and say, I have a little commission for you?
Well, I mean, that essentially that is what will happen in the event of a dispute, but also judges will also try to facilitate people to buy the other person out. So if you come to a case, and if the person who's been bought out isn't going to lose out, I think everybody would be, certainly the judge and the legal teams would be saying, well, look, why can't you do this? It is simply just money. So, it's more likely than not, if you can buy someone out, you'll be allowed to do that. And it's only in extreme circumstances that I think a house would be sold. So there's a very good chance, but it's not guaranteed.
So it's rare that it would be sold on the open market without the two parties being involved. If you've got two people who each want to buy the house because they're both reasonably well-resourced, or one might have to borrow and the other might have cash, what will the judge do when you've got two competing offers to buy out the
house? I think in those circumstances, you might actually sell the house, because that's making it more likely. If neither person will back down, the court might say, well, look, a plague on both your houses, unfortunately.
And can it happen then that either of the parties or both might be going to the auctioneer and trying to buy the house?
It's possible. Or, I mean, I've seen cases where there's an order made that neither party could bid on the house either. You know, if it gets, I mean, these cases can get quite extreme. Mm. And this is, we're talking about a really extreme and very rare phenomenon, but it does happen, unfortunately.
I'm trying to divorce, but my wife is ignoring my emails. Is there a way to force it? I can't afford a solicitor. She is the one who ended the marriage.
Unfortunately, when somebody doesn't respond to you, your only option in family law is really to go to court. I mean, you could maybe offer mediation. She's unlikely to take that up. The legal aid board, if you're not in a position to afford a solicitor, you can get legal aid, and you apply to the legal aid board online, and hopefully they might be able to assist you. But unfortunately, that is your only way of doing it.
This one is really a comment, I suppose. How do people afford to get divorced in Ireland? I'm married 20 years. We own the house, have three children, but I don't know how to afford buying my own home at this stage in my life. That's from an anonymous caller in Wexford.
Well, it's true. And I mean, Wexford might be bad, but try to get divorced in Dublin, where really, in terms of accommodation, and this particularly affects, I think, husbands or fathers, because they're generally the ones who end up at the end of the process out of the family home. And you can go quite a distance away from where your family home is. And again, if there are young children, the house is unlikely to be sold. So it's a real problem, accommodation, particularly where there's a marriage breakdown.
Do we still have a situation where you have divorced people living in the same house? I know with separated people it sometimes happened, but divorced people living under the same roof.
There was a school of thought that said that couldn't happen, but there's a recent High Court case that said divorced people can still live under the same roof in certain circumstances, and it is happening a bit more. It may happen, for example, if you're waiting for the house to be sold, and particularly in the rental market and the cost of rental, I think it happens a lot more, and maybe we're not told about it, but I think I certainly would believe it's common enough.
Is it okay to do a DIY divorce? We have no shared assets and no children. We've lived apart for years. We're both completely self-sufficient. Any pitfalls to be aware of in our case?
Well,
that looks like it's amicable.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to think about in any divorce is to remember that you're not divorced until the date of your divorce. And again, if you've no legal separation in place, It's not when you're separated that you have to count what assets each of you had. It's the date of the divorce. So it's 2025, September 2025. So if both of you have houses and you're more or less equal, well, that's very good, and that's helpful in terms of trying to resolve it. But if there is a disparity, for example, one of you may have a very good pension and the other one may not, that certainly on divorce you would expect there'd be some kind of equalisation of pensions. So,
but if they're doing a DIY divorce, what do they have to do to get that ratified?
If you're doing a DIY divorce, which I, again, as a family law solicitor, I've seen a lot of bad ones. You, first of all, I think you should get legal advice anyway just to see what would happen if you actually did it the correct way. But I suppose I'm against DIY divorce. I think they can lead to people missing out on quite
but
a lot
suppose,
of money.
Suppose you've done it. Then what needs to happen to make that legal? You know, you've agreed, well, both of you signed a document.
Oh, yeah, you'd bring your application to the court and you'd ask the judge to sign off on it.
Okay, so you still end up in the court.
You still have to go, and again, the court would look at it.
How can I find out if my ex-husband has divorced me in the UK or even possibly here? We're separated over 20 years and he doesn't live here.
Well, if he's divorced or separated you without you knowing, there's a very good chance that separation or divorce isn't valid. So there's a company called Finders, which are quite good at finding things out. But the difficulty in Ireland is everything is in camera, so you're unlikely to be able to find that out that easily. There's no register of divorces. There's a register of births, deaths and marriages, but we could do with a register of divorces or register of separation agreements or guardianship. So it's quite difficult to do that. I think you probably would have to bring your own proceedings for divorce here.
So the register of marriages, there is one?
There is one.
So you go to that and you think someone's married and they're already divorced and you can't find out?
Exactly.
How can a wife who's worked all her life, raised a family, paid for the purchase of all the food, general household expenses, the family car and all the rest, telephone bills, soft furnishings, how can she get a fair trial when the husband has paid the mortgage and the electricity and he can afford an expensive lawyer and she has to rely on legal aid?
Well, I suppose the first thing is to remind people about the constitutional referendum that we had last year about the woman's place in the home and the fact the constitution places the work that is done for the children within the home on an equal footing as a man's work outside the home in that kind of patriarchal sense.
So the court has to take that into account.
Absolutely. And a court will look at marriage as a joint venture, that there was a kind of deal between the parties. Sometimes it might be the husband at home, sometimes it's the wife, but that, you know, there should be due consideration given to both sets of labour for whatever it's at. In terms of the Legal Aid Board, I started off in the Legal Aid Board as a law clerk a long time ago. I got very good training. I have to say I hugely rate it as an organisation, and the solicitors who work there are the most specialist family law solicitors because they do nothing else and they use the same barristers that I use in private practice. So I'm a huge fan of the Legal Aid Board and I think they do great work. I just like to see more resources for them, but I can assure that listener that the Legal Aid Board do great work for people.
A home with a married couple seeking divorce. The home is in the husband's name. The wife is waiting years through a slow solicitor to get both names on the deeds, both signed and agreed to, just waiting on the local property office to register both names. Is this important before a divorce to have both names on the deeds or not?
Well, there's a Family Home Protection Act which implies that you would be on the deeds, but I think it's always better to have both names on any property that you can when you're married, if you can.
All right, so many questions still flooding in. Keith Walsh, family law and divorce solicitor, thank you very much.
Thanks
for joining us. Now, don't forget, our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by GoLad. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show. Today's...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.